Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Field Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven-figure plus store owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. If you own an e-commerce business, at some point, I'm guessing you've tried to outsource your content. Sometimes we, as owners, start writing it ourselves, and we know the topic really well because we're building the business and the content goes well and we're seeing the traffic increase, but then you realize it's really difficult to keep up that pace of content. You're thinking, I've got all these other things I'd love to do. Maybe I get someone else in here to write this. And so you hand it off to someone else. And almost every time, without fail, quality of content goes in the tank. And it's almost as much, if not more, work to try to manage someone else to produce great content for you than it is to write it yourself. It's really, really, really hard to outsource good quality content. So how do you do that? Is it even possible? And today, to talk about that, I'm joined by my good friend, Katrina McKinnon. She is our outsourcing expert in the e-commerce field community. She's the owner of Copysmiths.com, a firm that does outsource copy. And we have a very candid discussion about this, talking about if you can actually do this, how can you do it? I kind of press her, plays devil's advocate a little bit, because obviously that's the business she's in. And we also talk about, you know, how to approach people. We kick off the discussion actually with the most impressive inbound pitch I have ever received in terms of signing up for a service. We'll talk about that, how you think about it, and how you can email people empathetically in ways to get replies. But most of the discussion is focused on content and how to outsource it well. And I love kind of the philosophy that Katrina comes up with, because she offers a framework where you're able to outsource your content without losing that depth of expertise that's so important for building credibility, trust, and rankings. So anyway, hope you enjoy the discussion. It's always fun with Katrina. We have a good time, a lot of banter, hopefully some good takeaways for you as well. Before we jump in, a big, big thank you to the team and our friends over at Klaviyo who make the show possible. Klaviyo, powering over 50,000 e-commerce store owners, email and SMS marketing campaigns. And at the heart of what makes them great and a popular platform is their incredibly robust segmenting and targeting flows that they have. So it sucks in all the data from your shopping cart, and you can create segments and flows that fire automatically based on what people have purchased, how many times they've purchased. So for example, you could set up an email that anytime somebody buys from you 10 times, they automatically get a thank you email saying, you know, really appreciate your business. Thank you so much. And not even just that. Maybe it's if they've also purchased product A where there's accessories, you can say, thank you for purchasing so much from us. We see you've purchased this. Have you thought about these accessories? As a valued customer, we'd love to offer you 25% off. Like, it's really powerful what you can do with their platform. So if that sounds interesting and you want to start putting it to work for your business, check them out and get started for free at klaviyo.com/ECF. All right, let's go ahead and get into my discussion with Katrina. Katrina, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but you said a phrase that I have never heard in my entire e-commerce career when we were talking before we started recording, which was, I am currently killing it with cold outreach, quote unquote. And I thought, given that we're going to talk about the most amazing pitch I've, you know, at least one of them I've ever gotten, you did, but so maybe you shouldn't surprise me you're so good at that, but talk about that a little bit. Like, how are you doing cold outreach for customers right now? Because I think most people have often just give up on that as just pointless and fruitless. And you said you're getting like 90% open rate, 100% click-through response rates to people. What are you doing? How is this working?
Well, maybe the killing it's an exaggeration because of the Australianisms, but I'm enthusiastic about it because that's actually working for us and I didn't think it would. My background is completely organic traffic, SEO traffic, all of that sort of stuff. And we had to get this business up and running really quickly. And I thought, well, the fastest shortcut is to literally just ask people, just to reach out to people and say, hey, this is what we do. We can do this for you. Are you interested? Rather than waiting for inbound, you know, marketing to take hold, rather than waiting for organic traffic to take hold, all that sort of stuff. I was desperate to get everything running again. And so we just started and I didn't overthink it. And then it's just working and working and working. So we literally emailing, we choose, and it's the simplest thing. We follow everything that everyone else has ever said, which is choose your audience, like choose your niche, customize an offer to them to make sure it resonates, and just ask and say, you know, this is what we can do, and show evidence of what you can do, show social proof. So we are currently, I've actually got a screenshot I happen to have a screenshot open of just an old, one of the campaigns that we're running. We've got a 92% open rate, and that's on 1,933 emails sent. So I think it's statistically relevant. And then we're getting a reply rate of between 8 and 9%. And so of that 8 and 9% who reply, I would say that, you know, 10, 20% of the replies are no, go away. But the rest are, yeah, that's me. Go for it. Tell me what you've got on offer.
So where do you get all these emails? Is there a tool that you're subscribing to that lets you segment out by, you know, for example, e-commerce companies with that they may want blog content? Where are you finding these emails?
Okay, so we went with Built With initially. We went to Built With and paid the, you know, $600, I think it's Australian, $600 to get access to all the lists. And we've downloaded, I don't know, sort of 10, 20,000, you know, so you can search for who's running Shopify, for example, if we wanted to target e-commerce stores for our outreach. Or we could literally target a WordPress plugin that we know that affiliate people who are running, you know, AdThrive, for example, we can see who's running AdThrive, which is an affiliate commission sort of plugin on WordPress. And so we would know that those people are pretty serious about their blogging because they want to, you know, make money off their blog. But the Built With lists were rubbish, absolute trash. I would never, ever, ever use it again. And so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I didn't do it the right way. And the Built With guy, like, I know that other people are successful with it. I know that other people hook into it. Like, they hook their whole Salesforce data into it. And there is, you know, these guys are Australian and they build up the business over years. And I think they're great. They're awesome. That data was terrible for us. So we spent $600 and then just absolutely canceled it. And then the thing that's actually working for us is business directories. So because there are so many aggregators online who create old-fashioned directories, they've literally gone and aggregated like a client list, a potential client list for us. And then we've got a paid account on LinkedIn and we've got a tool called SalesQL, which just goes and hunts for an email address on LinkedIn. And then we use a tool called Hunter.io. I think it's Hunter.io or Hunter.com or something.
To come up with the email addresses for all the variations, right? And it can tell you if it's actually...
Hunter's data wasn't great for us either. The best combo is just literally having a LinkedIn account. So I've got my LinkedIn account, which my VAs access. I don't know if that's against the T's and C's, but we'll find out. And then we've got this tool, SalesQL, which I don't know, it's cost us like $40, $50 a month to run it. And then it just finds these emails. And then we go and manually load those emails into Hunter. Hunter is this fantastic outreach tool. The dashboards are really good. So for what we do, and just as this very simple snapshot. So yeah, we're growing the business. We're putting on a couple of clients. We're probably getting... I would say we're getting maybe in the last week 20 inquiries for our work, and that's pretty regular now. We're probably getting about 20 inquiries and just then talking to people and saying, oh, this is what we do, and we just show them what we can do. And yeah, we offer trials. And
it's amazing. It's you don't growing. Have to build out a lead magnet and do prospecting on Facebook and put them into a four-part funnel and then get them in your deal and a free trial. You just ask people. It's unbelievable. You talked about the pitch that you made. And one of the other things before we dive into the content side of things here, I want to talk about is you sent me, so we go back a long ways. You know, I like to think a good rapport. I really enjoy you. And so but even still, you sent me a pitch that was, a pitch is maybe not the best word, a proposal, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, that was one of the best proposals emails I've ever gotten. I mean, we get people who email us about guest posting, even people that I know and like, you know, often daily basis. We just don't do it. But your pitch was so good. And the reason it was so good is you're like, I think, becoming known as like the screencast.
Oh, yeah. Screencast queen.
The screencast queen. Because often, usually when I get an email from you, there's a screencast. And you were one of the first people I remember like a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, you reached out with one of those before they were a little more popular. But anyway, you got on a screencast so I could see you. You talked to her. It was probably 4 or 5 minutes. And you very politely got into Ahrefs and pretty much said, Andrew, your blog is rubbish. Your traffic is plummeting. You don't blog anymore, which is pretty true.
I think it's a little bit more subtle than that.
like I said, you did it very tactfully, very, 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 in a way that I was like, she's right. Absolutely. And she's so polite about it. But you showed me there was an issue You showed me kind of some of the articles that you had done. You said, hey, we'd love to help you work with some of these. Here's how our process works, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, it was personalized. It pointed to a direct need. It showed proof of our lack of effort on that front and what was possible. And I got done and I was just like, I'm in this. I mean, it was a really good pitch. So yeah, did you have any like, I feel like writing pitch emails is an art because so many people are so bad at them and yet they're so essential in the world we live in online. What do you think about when, I kind of covered the highlights there, but anything else you want to add to that? Because you have a gift for it and it's impressive.
Thank you. It's very kind of you. One of the things I've learned is just helping. So my brother, for example, always sort of says to me, you never ask for the sale. You're not aggressive enough for the sale and all this sort of stuff. And I go, well, it's just not my nature. My nature is to help. And I think when you reach out and you offer to help someone with something that you know how to do well and you make it really straightforward and simple for them, then you'll often get a yes and you'll get a tentative yes. And if you only ask, the other thing I've learned is if you ask for a little yes. So what I did with you was obviously, you know, I know, you know, I found you because you were a blogger. Years and years and years ago, I was reading your blog. And so
Before it got horrible, just to clarify.
Yeah, exactly. Before it got horrible. When it was actually good, when you actually had time to write. But all I thought about was, well, what's worked for this person in the past? Because if you can find something that's worked for someone in the past, they know it's already, you're already half sold on it. So I knew that your blog worked in the past. And then it's also, well, what do you care about? Well, I knew you cared about your community. And you cared about that engagement and that communication with the community because you've crafted the community. The communication within the community and around the community is so brilliant. It's beautifully curated. And so I know that you care about that community and what they get, the value that they get. And so when you pitch someone, you sort of say, and this is what we do in our, you know, I'm killing it, my cold outreach. We offer a solution. You do the work up front and you offer a solution. So what I did with you was we literally showed you the article. So I know my cost of that article. I know that it only cost me a certain amount of money. And if I failed, it didn't matter because I'd just go to your competitor and offer it to them instead.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that we got, the rapport level is just dipping you speak.
Yeah, people like to see that result. And so I was able to show you that we had already written an article and I was able to show you that there was a very low risk in you making that decision because I was able to show you that, you know, we've got 73 on-page ranking factors that we hit with our content. So our team goes through a very particular process of making sure that, well, if Google said once upon a time that you should put a keyword in a URL, we just do it. We don't question it. We just do it. We just go and do everything right. And so I was able to take you through that process and show you that the content we created was good. And then so that lowers that decision risk even further. So I know that what's worked for you in the past. I know what you care about. I know that I can show you something that lowers your risk even further. And the other thing that I did was I showed you what was queued up because I had a second article in the queue. And so it's the FOMO, fear of missing out. And so, you know, we've already started on this. And if you don't say yes, then you don't get that second article either. And I've also learned that screencasts, like people try and get you on the phone and people try and get you to answer an email. I hate typing out emails. And so a screencast still has that personal touch and people can watch it in their own time. And you know what else is amazing about screencasts is it's a reveal. It's a behind the scenes reveal. So one of the things we do with our clients, and I've just got a client that I literally had to send a screencast to yesterday, a guy called Daniel, he's one of the members. And I literally had, he was like, oh, you know, how are we going with all the blogging, you know, the queue. And I was like, you know what, Daniel, here's the activity. I was able to show him our whole project management tool, all the activity. And I was able to say, look, I'm so sorry. We just haven't found the right writer for your particular content. It's coming, it's on its way. But because you do a reveal with a screencast and you show what's behind the scenes, it builds trust. And people can see that you're not, you know, trying to be smooth and perfect, and it's just real. And so people engage with real.
Yeah, and I like what you said about do the work up front. I feel like some of the worst emails to get are when people say, "Hey, I saw you're doing this. I'd love to work together. Let's hop on a phone call and talk about how we can collaborate." And when that happens, those are the worst because I think, well, if you're going to reach out and if we're going to spend time on the, you know, an hour on the phone talking, like, come up with a couple of proposals about maybe where is, I don't know anything about your business. And so there's, and the risk there, you talked about de-risking it. There's a time, and even if you're just looking into it, it's a risk of you're going to waste half an hour to an hour of your life, which those add up quickly. And
but you yeah, don't, because so it's a repeatable process, because that's part of our funnel. So part of our funnel is to find guest post opportunities. I'm committed to that.
Oh, right. I wasn't saying from your perspective. I was saying from the recipient's perspective. It's just, if you don't say, here's something, if you're going to reach out to someone and you want to partner up, have something discreet you can offer, even if it's high level, like maybe we can do this and you could, like something to start with, as opposed to let's just get on the phone and talk and maybe something will transpire, maybe not.
And that's that micro yes, like getting people to a micro yes is absolutely the way to go.
So let's talk about, you're incredibly good at cold outreach and great at pitching. Well done. I want to pivot and talk to about content a little bit. And before we dive in really granularly, talk about content in 2020. I feel like, man, we live in a world where there's just so much information, there's so much content. And, you know, if you look at kind of, I think probably the traditional content marketer's playbook today, most people would say, if you're going to do it, you got to really invest a lot of resources. You can't even bother with, you know, 1,000 word articles. You got to be doing 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 word, absolute, you know, best quality items on the internet to be able to move the needle. Forget about shorter posts. What do you think about that? Like, what do you think about, do you think that's a fair assessment of where we are in terms of being able to move the needle for a business? And what do you, and even beyond that, where do you think we're at with content in 2020, given how crowded things are?
Okay, so exactly what you just said, that people think they have to do a 3,000 word blog post because the bar is so high, all of this sort of stuff. And you know what? That scares people off and they never ever get started. And that's why people fail at this. They never ever start because they set the bar too high. What we have found, so over the last couple of years, we've now created and published thousands and thousands of articles. Our biggest successes come from regular publishing. And it doesn't matter the word length. What matters is that you answer the question. So it doesn't matter if it's long form or short form. We've got one client who has very, very short articles, perhaps maybe 300-400 words, but the content answers the question that the searcher is posing and the search engines is putting in as the query. And when you answer the question and you just straightforward and you answer the question, it gets traction in the search engines. And so we've found that if you blog once, if you literally just create an article once a week and then you build up over time to 2, 3, 4, whatever sort of, it depends on the market you're going for and all that sort of stuff. But it's not the length of the article that matters, whether it's short or, you know, long and in-depth and expert and all of that sort of stuff. It's just that you're doing it. So you've got to show up for more and more keywords in the index as opposed to just showing up for 50 keywords that are really high volume and low competition. People totally overcomplicate this and they get way too techie with it. They overthink it. You've just got to do the work and blog just right.
Hey, it's Andrew here with a quick aside. And just wanted to mention, if this is the kind of discussion that you enjoy, that even if you're not listening to a podcast, thoughts about content marketing or marketing in general, or ordering inventory, or shopping cart migrations, or ERP implementations, or why is Facebook continually getting so expensive year after year? If these are kind of things that just bounce around in your brain in the shower, you really should do yourself a favor and join us inside the e-commerce fuel private community. It is the world's largest vetted group of seven-figure plus store owners, where we're talking about this kind of stuff all the time. Incredibly active place, thousands of comments every single month, and it's where you're going to find your people. We've got not only active discussions, but archives from pretty much every conceivable topic you could ever think about in e-commerce to go back and reference. We have a review directory of over 10,000 reviews, unbiased, straight from store owners with no other agenda. So if this kind of community sounds interesting to you, if you love the idea of plugging in with a network like this, if people get what you do and can help out, check us out. We'd love to have you. You can learn more about all the details and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. I want to play a little devil's advocate here. And you have a company, like I mentioned at the top, copysmiths.com, where you do, you know, outsource copy for companies and e-commerce brands. Most people that have gone through that, it's been a hard process. Like outsourcing content historically, it's just been really challenging because one, you're trying to find someone that understands your brand voice. Secondly, you're trying to find someone who understands the subject area well enough to write about it. And then third, you're trying to find people that can write about it well and with nuance and with detail and cleanly, and like, it's just, and do it at a reasonable price, right? So that's very difficult to do. Most people have had bad experiences with that. So how are you able to do that? Because you've had good results. How do you approach that? And maybe we can talk about from the expertise side first. How do you think about trying to tackle that? Because that's a hard problem to tackle.
It is a hard problem. And so just to give a bit of background, we ran a web agency for years and built websites for people and did a lot of inbound marketing. And people would always come to us and say, oh, can you, you know, get organic traffic for us? And so we worked out how to do that. And it was a problem I had to solve to run that business, was to work out how to create content. And so we used to outsource our content production to all those content mills that you're thinking about that everyone tries. Everyone goes onto the job platforms, everyone tries to find the writer and, you know, goes onto the content mills and, you know, everyone's Fiverr, everything. Everyone's tried that. We did all of that and tried all of that and just worked out over time. And none of that works. You've got to find a team that does understand what it is that you need for your particular strategy. And so when you talk about that expertise side, again, I think it's sometimes for some businesses, expertise is overrated. So there are some businesses that we simply say, we can't really write for you because you've got a highly, highly technical product. And what our service offers is volume of traffic and organic keywords showing up in the SERPs. So our business doesn't always fit for someone who's got a highly technical product. Like, and there's other businesses in ECF as well who have, you know, really amazing communities. I'm thinking of Meredith and Matt's business. They produce amazing content for their audience. And so they're now experimenting with podcasts, for example. We would never write articles for them because their community is so specific. Their customers are so specific that they've literally chosen the best marketing channel for them. And so I don't think that it's a one size fits all. Like content marketing, like article writing, blogs, doesn't work for everyone, but it certainly works for a business that sells paleo bars or that sells pens and pencils, for example. But it doesn't work for some businesses. They've got to use, you know, like they've got to use a different type of content. And so with that expertise, you've got to keep in mind that the other thing to do as well that we say to people who do require a very particular expertise is we say, we fill in the gaps. So you get your in-house team to just write one article a month on your particular expertise that goes into great depth. But we do the fodder, what I call the fodder in between, that helps to get that top of the funnel content produced and then gets all that traffic in. So we're able to get a lot of low-level, non-expert content created based on top of the funnel search queries. And we get all this traffic in, and then the reader says, oh, look, at there's this expert content sitting right next to it. Oh, I'll read that. So like with the expertise, sometimes I think, just to sum up, I think that it's overrated to a certain extent because there's other ways that you can get that expertise. And then some businesses, it's simply this strategy of content creation simply doesn't suit their business.
Totally makes sense. And I love that because I would probably take the counter and say expertise is almost always a good thing, but I think what I'm hearing from you is you don't always have to have every article be from a world-class Nobel laureate about the topic, right? Like, yeah, you can have, and I like the hybrid approach you talk about because you can get a lot of those keyword phrases that you can kind of really send the labor to where it's most efficient in terms of either have the experts in-house write the really expert stuff, tease that on the broader stuff that can, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, we've got a client that we're literally writing, are macadamia nuts good for you? And that's the sort of search, that's the sort of high volume search that brings someone to your website, to your store, because these guys sell paleo bars, keto friendly bars, foods. And so are macadamia nuts good for you is a huge search query. And so what happens is those people come into the site and you can cookie them and then use that cookie in your Facebook campaigns.
For a topic like that, though, how would you, that seems like such a, I definitely believe it has a lot of search volume, but it seems like unless they have a really authoritative domain, it's going to be extremely difficult to rank for that kind of keyword.
You don't have to rank for everything. You've just got to rank for lots. So like that's, again, like everyone sort of says, oh, you know, gosh, you know, we've got to be in the top, you know, everyone's so obsessed with being in the top 10. There is an unbelievable amount of traffic available. Organic traffic available. We've got one client who's doing 1.5 million visitors a month at the moment. and he's one of the ECF members, and huge, absolutely huge. There is so much traffic, and he's ranking for, when he's getting traffic, sorry, and ranking, but he's getting traffic for what is a blah, blah, blah. So for very, what you would think is non-expert content, he is getting a huge amount of traffic, because even though he's ranking in the 45th position for what is a blah, blah, there's enough traffic. There's enough traffic to go around. And that's what I'm trying to say, is everyone gets so paralyzed by having it to perfect and, you know, the ranking in the top, and, you know, everyone's so paralyzed that they never start, that they never just get on with it and start learning and get the benefit of it, because it's this snowball. It's a rolling snowball. Content and organic traffic is a rolling snowball, but you have to get started.
You talked about if someone was going to either have a firm like yours or even do it in-house, have the expert articles, have the higher level kind of less, you know, articles that required less expertise. And then you could tease some of those more in-depth expert articles to maybe get those top of funnel people to stick around. How do you do that on the page? Do you do that? Do you tease that throughout the article? Do you kind of have a really clear call to action at the bottom with pictures that says you might be interested in these? How do you parlay that kind of high level question into someone that sticks around and dives into the good stuff? Is it any strategies for that?
We've totally worked out what people click on. And it's the funniest stuff. People will click on the words click here. We did tests. We were able to drive 150,000 people a month through to a landing page from a campaign, organic traffic, with the words click here. People click on images. They don't click on the button. So everyone sort of says, oh, I'm going to make a CTA, a call to action banner, and it's going to have a bright orange button, and I'm going to test the button, whether it's red or orange, which one gets the highest conversion rate, right? What we've worked out is if you create a table, for example, this is what I was talking about with this sort of answer the question, you know, data authoritative, you know, Google's EAT kind of stuff, expertise, authority, trust. If you put a table of data into an article and you link one of the words, people click on that like it's going out of style. And it's simple. It's these really simple old school things that work. People click on images. So we will put, again, nothing fancy. We literally put a picture of maybe an image, or we find that illustrations work really well. We'll often convert, it's because people have sort of got this banner blindness these days to photos, particularly stock photos. You never use stock photos, but we'll put an illustration in. We'll literally convert like a photo or something into an illustration and just put it in as a normal image and put a little bit of alt text under it. A bit of an image caption under it. People click on it. People click on images that look a little bit different, and they click on just image captions, and they click on the words click here, and they click on text in tables, and they don't click on the CTA, the call to action at the end of the article. They don't click on the button. They don't click on the banner. They don't click on that beautiful panel that you paid $100 for your graphic designer to design. They click on really simple stuff.
It's so interesting you talk about never use stock photos. And I feel like, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure, do this with good photos, but if there was a service out there that's sole mission in life was to just be able to provide easy access to non-crappy stock images, especially for really abstract terms like team building is terrible because that's like the ultimate stock photo image. But journey, there's all, I don't know about you, but whenever I used to write on the blog, which a long time ago, right? It was finding good images for your blog articles, especially when you're writing about stuff like e-commerce, is really challenging. Do you have places, where do you guys get good imagery?
We create combinations. So one of the things that we've worked out as well is we grab a stock photo. So we've just done this one with clients again. This is Two Hounds Design. They sell dog leashes and collars. And what we've worked out is that we have a photo of a dog, and we literally Photoshop illustration of the collar and the lead onto the dog. So it's a hybrid image of a photo with an illustration over the top. And we've tested that in Amazon Posts, their new sort of, you know, social media sort of system. And it's the engagement rate is really high because the image is kind of unusual. And again, like it costs us fairly nothing to make these images because you're literally just getting a Photoshop, you know, person who's usually, you know, very affordable these days because most graphic designers come out of school just even knowing Photoshop, to Photoshop on an unusual graphic, an illustration onto a photo is easy. It takes them, you know, I don't know, 15 minutes. And so we're creating completely unique images that Google's never seen.
Do you have a few, where are your top 2 to 3 places where you will go to get, and it could be even paid, but either free or paid stock imagery that doesn't just reek of, you know, an office photo shoot?
Yeah, Pexels. We use Pexels mostly.
How do you spell that?
P-E-X-E-L-S.
Pixels.com. Cool. Thanks.
But, you know, again, we will take a lot of client images as well. We recycle images as well. So that was the other thing, is everyone thinks that they need to have a unique featured image for their blog posts. We'll get a bank of 20 made and then we start recycling them because no one notices.
Starting to run a little bit into time, probably the last thing here, but I do want to ask before we wrap up, where do you find great writers? Because that's the other thing too, is you've got the expertise side, which we talked about, and trying to get people to mesh perfectly into your brand and be experts. And sometimes maybe that's not the best approach. Just think about it more from a supplemental perspective. But then you have the whole, where can I find a great writer at a good price? Where do you find the best talent in terms of writing? Because I know you're an outsourcing expert in the ECF forums. You know this as well as anyone. So where do you find the best talent right now in terms of writing?
So Kenya is unbelievable. The people there, so incredibly well educated. Their education system is just second to none. It's incredible. They're culturally, they have a very strong focus on having high level English skills to get into university. I believe my team have told me that you have to have an A, you know, top marks in English at school to even get accepted into university. The cultural pressure from parents is very much that you will only succeed in life if you've got, you know, amazing English skills. I mean, of course, that's a, you know, bit of a broad sweeping statement, but that's what my team have told me. And so we now, all of our writers come out of Kenya because their English skills are just amazing, like absolutely blow me away amazing every single time.
Man, so do you recruit, how much of your team is from Kenya?
Out of the whole team, probably 80% of the team.
That's amazing. And you were saying, not just writing before we hopped on, you were talking about how you have a manager out of Kenya that is just doing phenomenally for you.
Yeah, we've got a content coach, Ivan, who's just amazing. He started off as a writer with us and he's just ambitious. He's 30 years old. He's just about to turn 30. It's his birthday, I think, this Friday. And he's so ambitious but in a beautiful way. He's keen, he's interested, he's open to growth and suggestions. The cultural fit, like, of our team is quite astounding. Like, I'm blown away by it because everyone's so friendly and engaged and proactive and they just want to learn. And so the equivalent, the sort of the average wage for, let's say, a teacher in Kenya is roughly around $800 to $900 a month. So their economy allows them to be very affordable for other economies to leverage.
And your business, copysmiths.com, I've been alluding to it and I mentioned at the top, but before we wrap up, can you give people just a real good sense of what you guys, you know, what you guys do, who you're a good fit for, and how to get in touch?
We're really good at blog management. So what we do is we're very, very good at creating, and I say this and it sounds terrible that I sort of say it so, you know, definitively, it sounds terrible, egotistical, but we've worked really hard at this. Like, over the years, I've really worked hard at this. We're really good at creating blogs and running blogs and managing blogs. So we literally, our clients, it's a set and forget service. They call us up and say, I just need to get some traction on this new product. So we're really good with e-commerce stores because, of course, I've been doing e-commerce forever, so I understand. And so they call us up and they say, look, this is, I really want to launch this product. Can you get me some organic traffic for this? And I go, yep, we've got a 2 or 3 months because it just takes a while for Google to find. And we do all the keyword ideation. We run the whole queue. We publish. We provide feedback on what's working, what's not working for the client. But it's this set and forget blogging service that you can literally call us up and just say, you know what, I know I have to run a blog, I know I have to do this and I cannot get it into gear, I cannot seem to make it happen. And so we do it for you and you just don't have to think about it.
Yeah, and you're right, articles are good. You've worked with me to publish some stuff on our side, on the ECF side, to revive that blog, slowly starting to. And so, yeah, it's very cool, copysmiths.com. If you have, yeah, forsaken your blog or just need some additional content, check out the work over there. I love the name too. I know you rebranded recently. I really like the name.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? I can't believe I got it. There's a domain name. Yeah, there's like one available left in the planet, you know, .com. You know, who would have thought?
Well, hey, before we wrap up, are you up for doing a parting lightning round here, Katrina?
Oh, sure. Why not?
What's your favorite piece of e-commerce tech?
You know what? It's boring, but it's Shopify. We used to pay $300,000 a year for a WebSphere license from IBM 20 years ago. So Shopify at $100 a month. blows my mind.
I can see that. Least favorite piece of e-commerce tech apart from IBM WebSphere?
BigCommerce, because they put their prices up and never added any value.
Most effective marketing strategy for you in the last 6 months?
Outbound cold email. It's crazy. I never thought I'd say it.
I never thought I'd hear it. It's amazing. What's the last thing you apologized for that you're willing to talk about?
I get impatient sometimes and I want everything just to move faster. And so I had to apologize to my team, a few people in my team, for just being a bit too pushy.
What's one of your life goals that's at least a decade plus in the future? So something that you don't have the resources or haven't gotten, you know, it's going to take at least a decade to get there, but you'd like to eventually.
To have a proper, fully fledged online training platform to actually teach people online skills that are useful for online entrepreneurs.
And then finally, who's the most interesting person you've met as a part of ECF, being a member of the private forums?
Probably Alan Marek, because he is just a quiet guy that just ticks away. The efficiency that he has built into his business is completely extraordinary, what he is able to do.
Yeah, I can second that. Alan's a phenomenal guy. Katrina, always fun having you come back on. Again, copysmiths.com. Check it out, especially if you need some high quality copy and articles. Always love talking with you, bantering. And yeah, thanks for being such a good part of the community. You've been around. You were a charter member, right? You've been around since the beginning.
Yeah, we had a phone call. We had a long Skype call years ago. This random dude from America called me. I was like, what do you want? Why are you calling me?
And you didn't hang up on me. And look what's happened. Now we're on the podcast for the second time. It's amazing. Thank you, Katrina. Always so much fun having you on.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye.
That's going to do it for this week. Again, a big thank you to the team at Klaviyo for making the show possible. The best place to send highly segmented messages via email and SMS to your customers to make more money. You can learn more about them and get started at klaviyo.com/ECF. And also brought to you by the eCommerce Fuel Private Community, a vetted forum and review directory of 1,000+ in the trenches experienced store owners that you can connect with to help grow your business. If you want to learn more about that and apply for membership, you can do that at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard and adventure often, and looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network, live from New York.